with fear and with love. I'm going to begin to talk tonight about the Holy Rebbe, Rabbi Avraham Lof Misachatchov, who's famous, known throughout the world as the Avnei Nezer. with fear and with love. With fear because he was one of the most fearsome tzaddikim that we've had in these last centuries, in terms of his brilliance, in terms of his original path as Torah study, establishing a unique method of chassidic leadership, which we'll talk about at great length. And with love because of what he's done for us, and what he's given us in chassidus, and in nistar, in the hidden part of Torah, and in nigla, in the revealed Torah, Shelton Shuvas Avnei Nezer, which are considered to be among the classic of modern responsa, which I'm sure you've heard of, the Avnei Nezer, the Egel Tal, which I have opened here in front of me, the Egel Tal, his famous work on the laws of Shabbos, also groundbreaking, thoroughly original. Everything that he wrote was original. Everything that he said was original. The son-in-law of Rabbi Mendel from Kotsk. So we're going to go into that, the story of that, of his relationship with the Kotzker, the story of the years that he spent in Kotsk, and being the only one who was really allowed to have access to the Kotzker during the famous 20-year seclusion of the Rebbe, which we spoke a little bit about when we were talking about Izbitzer a couple of years ago. But I have to tell you something. I first want to share something really fascinating that I guess the best thing I could say, I told my wife when I realized this tonight, that I was, I guess the best thing would be to say spooked out. I can't think of any better term. You know, I try to see there are booklets, you know, to see different yard sites. I was preparing some of the things, looking at different swarm about the Avnei Nezer's life. And today I had a little extra time. And as I was writing, and I was reading some things, looking in the swarm, so his yard site came up. His yard site is Yud Aleph Adar Rishon, which is tonight. And it was Mamish and Ibiyur. It was Yud Aleph Adar Rishon. And I didn't plan this out bechlal. I mean, I didn't plan out at all that we should start to talk about the Avnei Nezer tonight. But it's Mamish Yud Aleph Adar Rishon when he was nifted. So tonight's the yard site of the Avnei Nezer. So I felt that he was trying to tell us something, that we should start talking a little about him. Not about him, he just for sure wouldn't like us to talk about him, but to talk about his Torah, his teachings, which we'll do, Mitzvah Shem, for hopefully for a few months, to learn pieces from the Nais Hadesh, and even some pieces, maybe certain small pieces in Halacha, where we see his unique approach, to give a taste of his unique approach to Halacha, and in some areas where there's a remarkable combination of Chassidus and Halacha, and how the teachings of the Maharal and the teachings of his father-in-law, the Kotzker, influenced his understanding of Halacha as well. So let's begin to talk about his life. You know that what we've been doing over the last couple of years is that before we talk about some of the teachings, like we spent on a Pesodic, I think came out around 25, 26 sessions, talks that we had about the Pesodic, the first two or three I generally spend talking about the tzaddik's life, so that we have a little bit of a feeling for where he was coming from. I mean, not that we don't understand the little toe, but at least to have some information. So the talk now is going to consist of a little bit of a discussion. The next time will just consist of a discussion about Nezer's life. So as I said, as I always apologize, you know, I'm not a lecturer, and I'm uncomfortable saying over certain facts, but I feel that they're necessary in order for us to properly appreciate and to approach his Torah, his teachings. So before we enter into the remarkable world of the Avnei Nezer and his Svarim, so let's talk a little bit about his life. He was the first Rebbe of Sochatchov. It was the beginning of Shalshalos. It was the beginning of a new school, a new chotzer, a Hasidic court that Avnei Nezer never ever imagined himself to be a Hasidic Rebbe. He was not the son of a Hasidic Rebbe, and he did not want to become a Hasidic Rebbe, and he krechts and complained about it during the time that he was, during the 50 years of his leadership. He generally complained about the fact that he was almost forced to become a Hasidic Rebbe. His place, what he felt, before we go into the actual life, what he felt the purpose of existence was to teach Torah. His purpose in life was Lamdas was learning, but learning on the deepest level. Lilmaid de Lilamaid. And he created, in fact, a school of learning, which we know the Pailish Lamdas, the learning that it's safe to say that in the 50 years, the last 50 years before the Holocaust, the vast majority of the great leaders of Torah in Poland, I'm not talking about the Litvisha world, although they were also greatly influenced by the Avni Nezer, but the vast majority of the Torah leadership in Poland were Talmidim of the Avni Nezer, were students of the Avni Nezer. His approach to the learning of Torah, which in many ways resembles the approach of Rabbi Chaim Brisker, the Soloveitchik Mishpacha, the tremendous emphasis on reaching the Nekudas HaEmes, the point of truth in a sugya, with the Seichel HaYosher, with avoiding hair-splitting pilpuls and trying to get to the conceptual underpinnings of the Inyan, which is really the trademark of the Avnei Nezer, and in this way he resembles the original path of Torah study that was established by in Volozhin with Chaim Brisker. One of his close friends, and it wasn't easy to be a friend with the Avnei Nezer, one of his close friends was Rabbi Chil Meir Gustanina, who was called the Tehillim Yid. So he said about his friend, he said about the Avnei Nezer, Ramach Evarev Shasad Gidov Krutzim Yoisius Atayra. He said about the Avnei Nezer that his 248 limbs and his 365 veins or sinews or krutzim were completely made of the letters of Torah. And they called Rabbi Chil Meir Gustanina the Tehillim Yid, the Avnei Nezer was called in Poland the Torah Yid, the Jew of Torah. That he was seen as the embodiment of that personality of the Torah Yid. And because of that, the Avnei Nezer led his chassidim, he led his chatzir, his court, more in the style of Rosh Hashiva. And he always saw himself more as a Rosh Hashiva. And he was one of the few admirim, one of the few Hasidic rebbes who, after he became Rebbe, continued to function as a Rosh Hashiva and gave shiurim every day until the very end of his life. He gave shiurim to some of the most brilliant minds in Europe. Some of those brilliant minds until a very short time before he died, he saw this as being the tachlis of his life. And we'll talk about with the reluctance that he had having to deal with the masses who were coming with tefillahs and problems and asking him for, you know, yeshuas and refuas for problems with health and all different advice. That to him was a terrible distraction. What he saw was the tachlis of his life, which was to be a Rosh Hashiva, to be a Talmud Chacham. He repeated very often that the mitzvah of the greatest way to fulfill the mitzvah of uvo sidbak, of tveikus, of attachment to Hashem, the greatest way to be attached to Hashem is to toivel one's brain in the Torah, to take their mind. He says to take the mind, it's equivalent to going into a mikvah of water, to take the mind and to immerse the mind in the study of a page of Gemara, in the study of a sugya, in the study of a halacha, in the way of the Avnei Nezer, immersion of the mind in Torah was the equivalent of immersing the body in the mikveh. On the other hand, and this is what makes him perhaps the most fascinating of the rabbis of the tzaddikim. On the other hand, as I mentioned before, he was the son-in-law of the Kotzker, and he was for sure a Hasidic rabbi. And we'll talk about the transformation that took place between the 6 days of the week, where he was the classical Rosh Hashiva, and then all of a sudden on Shabbos, which maybe I'll just mention now, that on Shabbos, we know that he was once by the table Friday night with the Hasidim, and one of the Hasidim asked him a question in the laws of brachas, in the laws of blessings, and he didn't answer; he ignored it completely. And after the tish, after it was finished, Avnei Nezer called over this Hasid and said, "Don't you know that it's also the Chacham taught us that it's forbidden that when your teacher is preoccupied, is learning one mesechti, is learning one thing, then you don't come to ask a kasha, you don't ask a question from something that he's not learning." Now the point here was not learning, because Avnei Nezer knew the entire Torah completely from the time that he was a young man. So it wasn't that he didn't know the answer to the laws of brachos. What he was saying was that when I'm involved in chassidus and when I'm attached to the way of, when I'm in that way of dveikus, of attachment to Hashem, that time is a time that is not teis kashas in Gemara's and teis kashas in Taisus. And we'll see that in his life there was a very clear, although in his learning we do see the influence of chassidus, but in general we see that for the 6 days of the week he was more of a Rosh Hashiva. When it came to Shabbos, he was a classic, you know, he was a classic tzaddik in the truest form of the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov. And this is something which is very fascinating. And I wanted to mention here also that you see this in the introduction. For those of you that have the Eglay Tal, that have his famous work on the Lamates Melachos of Shabbos, which he didn't complete. To give you an idea of to see for a moment, to have a glimpse of this remarkable balance between the Derech HaBaal Shem Tov that we've been talking about now for years, that the way of the Baal Shem Tov and the way of the Rosh Hashiva, the Talmud Chacham, and the influence that he had to restore the Tzaddikim. There were great Talmud Chacham among the Tzaddikim. I mean, the greatest Talmud HaBaal Shem, the Talmud HaBaal Shem Tov and the Mezuzah Magid and his students were exceptional in learning. I mean, the Baal HaTanya, the Hafla, the Reb Shmalki, the Bedishtva, these were all the Ga'in, they were first class Ga'inim, geniuses of Torah. Nevertheless, it certainly is correct to say that in general among the Hasidic courts in the 19th century, the second part of the 19th century, moving into the 20th century, that learning had become less important in comparison to the Avaida with Tefillah and expending great amount of time preparing for Tefillah and then by the Tishn and by singing and by dancing and so on, which is of course all part of what Hasidus is about. But the Avi Nezer, following the footsteps of his father-in-law, the Klotzker, and the person who was almost his father-in-law, somebody who considered to be a Talmud Chavar, considered to be a Chavar and a Rebbe, Chiddush Arim, the Ger Rebbe. So in the following of their footsteps, the Avi Nezer lifted again the banner of Torah, and he brought about a new orientation, a reorientation. Of the Chassidim to bring them back to stronger attachment to classical learning, and here in the introduction to the Eglay Tal, I want to read to you a paragraph that's very typical of this approach. The Avi Nezer writes here: Umi de Dabri Zocher Ezka Masher Shamaiti Ktsas Bnei Adam Toin Mi Derech HaSeichel BeInyan Libur Torah Seinu HaKadosh. He says, "I want to mention here." He writes the introduction. I want to mention that there are some people who have made a mistake and they misunderstand the way to learn. They don't understand the proper way of studying Torah. But Amru, what do these people say? And there are many people who say this, and there are things like this that are written in many svarim. Ki alomed umachadesh chidushim besameach umisaneg b'limudo ein ze limud ha-Torah kol kach l'shma. He says there are many people who say that a Jew who sits down and learns Torah and enjoys learning Torah and is besimcha and comes up with his own novel ideas of Torah, that's not called learning Torah for its own sake. There are people who say that. And there are those who say that one should not derive any personal benefit or pleasure or joy from the study of Torah, because that would indicate that your study is not completely for God's sake, but that it's for the sake of your own personal enjoyment. Like, you know, you learn something, you read something, it's really geschmack, it's enjoyable. So it's not a way of serving Hashem. He says there are those who say that you're only supposed to learn for the sake of a mitzvah and not for the purpose of deriving any personal joy. There are those who say that if you learn, if you enjoy, if you delight in your learning, then you are mixing into your learning personal pleasure, and that's not l'shem shemaim, and that's not the way that a Jew learns Torah. He says ube'em ez atos mufursam, he writes, and in truth, this is a famous mistake. In other words, this is a mistake that unfortunately, he says, has spread. But other of it, it's just the opposite. Ki zehu ikar mitzvahs limud ha-Torah. And here you see the Hasidic Rebbe. He says, zehu ikar, he says, this is the main mitzvah of studying Torah. Liosos v'sameach u'misanik b'limud. And then he says, the ikar of learning Torah, the main mitzvah of learning Torah, is to rejoice and to delight in your studying. Until the study of Torah becomes absorbed in your blood. And if you love the Torah, you enjoy your study of Torah, you'll become attached to it. So the Avinazer says, he cites the Zohar, and the Zohar teaches that whether it's the Yetzer HaTov, whether it's the good inclination or the Yetzer Hara or the evil inclination, neither of them can grow unless it's besimcha. In other words, when the Yetzer HaTov, in order for the Yetzer HaTov to grow, it can only take place with simcha. As the Svarim say, that Rav Sham Shavu Lahir says that simcha is a lashon of simcha, sameach is a lashon of sameach, which means to grow. Where there's simcha, there's simcha. Where the person's besimcha, there's growing. Similarly with the Yetzer, only when a person enjoys chalila, when a person enjoys an aveira, then you become, then you become adept at, God forbid, at doing it. But if you don't enjoy something, then you don't become dovuk to it. If you don't enjoy something, you don't become attached to it. And the Yetzer HaTov is misgadol mitar simcha shel Torah. The Zohar says that the Yetzer HaTov, how does the Yetzer HaTov, how does the good and holy inclination of a Jew grow? Through the joy of studying Torah. V'ima marta sha'idea simcha she'eshlo mehalimud nikva shaloi lishma, akoponim lishma v'shaloi lishma. And if you're going to come and tell me that the joy that a Jew has by studying is called shaloi lishma, that it's called something that is not for the sake of heaven, or it's a mixture of something which is for the sake of heaven and that which isn't. So he says, Harei simcha zu oid migra koyach ha-mitzvah maka oirev eich yigdol mizei Yetzer HaTov. Then you're telling me that the joy of studying Torah, not only does it darken the light of Torah, but eich yigdol mizei Yetzer HaTov. How could the Zohar say that the Yetzer HaTov grows with the joy of studying Torah, with the simcha? Obviously the simcha of studying Torah is a holy thing, it's a great thing. The kevin she Yetzer HaTov misgadol mizeh. Since the Yetzer HaTov becomes stronger, it's empowered by the joy of Torah study. Bevadei zehu ikar mitzvah. Certainly, that's the essence of the mitzvah. And he says he ends up by saying, "Umidina da haloymid loy l'shem mitzvah zalimud rak machmas sheyesh leitanug b'limudu harei zenik b'limud shloy l'shma kahod oichal matzah shloy l'shem mitzvah rak l'shem tainug achila." He says, certainly if a Jew doesn't believe in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, studying Torah, he doesn't care about the mitzvah, and it's just because he wants to show off, the person wants to be able to say some fancy svara, some fancy shir, and he's not interested in the truth of Torah, that certainly is called shelo lishma. That's true. But he says, but as long as a person, avol haloymed l'shem mitzvah, as long as a Jew is learning for the sake of a mitzvah, umesanig b'limudo, and he delights in that study, he's harei zeh limud lishma. That's called studying Torah lishma. That's not shalom lishma. That doesn't mean you're not studying Torah for its own sake. For its own sake means you believe in the mitzvah, you want to perform the mitzvah, and you enjoy and you delight in the study of Torah. V'kulay kodesh. Ki gam atanug mitzvah. And it's completely holy, because even the joy that the person has, even that simcha, that joy, is itself a mitzvah. So there you see the Derech HaBaal Shem Tov infiltrating into the Derech HaLimud of the Avna Nezer, into his way of teaching Torah and the impact that he had upon Jews to make Torah, that Torah should be something which is enjoyable, and every single Jew, even a person who's not a great Talmud Chacham, even a person who didn't spend his whole life in Yeshiva, can derive a tremendous joy and excitement from the study of Torah. Let's begin to talk about his life. That's just the Derech HaKdoma by way of introduction. He was born in 1839. According to the non-Jewish calendar. Tovkov Tzadik Tes. I said his father was not a Hasidish Rebbe, but his father was one of the greatest Talmid Chachamim in Poland, Reb Zev Nochum. They used to call him a Velvela. Reb Zev Nochum was the author of the Sefer Agudas Ezov, which is a great Lomdisha Sefer. He was himself, Reb Zev Nochum, a descendant of the Ramah and the Shach, and he was considered to be among the greatest of the followers of Rabbi Mendel from Kotsk. So here we have already, the Avni Nezer is already a later generation. Almost all the tzaddikim we spoke about until now, with the exception of course of the Tzemach Tzaddik, Emal Adaber, but almost all the tzaddikim we spoke about until now They were rebels. They were rebelling against their fathers. They were rebelling against their upbringing. Generally, they were brought up in misnagdic circles until now. But as we move ahead already to the second and third, there's already the third generation. We're talking about 1839. There's already actually the fourth generation of Hasidus. So we already have here tzaddikim who are being raised in Hasidic homes, which we didn't see by the earlier tzaddikim. For instance, when we spoke about the Rebbe Pinchas Koritzer, he was raised in a very strong misnagdic home. Even Rebbe Tzaddik from Lublin, although his father died early, his father had a certain affection and feeling for the Hasidim, but he was certainly included among the misnagdim officially. And Rebbe Tzaddik was raised in a very strong misnagdic atmosphere. But the Avnei Nezer was brought up in the home of Rebbe Zev Nochum of Velvula, and this was a very strong Hasidic home, as I said, one of the closest Hasidim to the Kotzker, as close as a person can get. And he was the Avnei Nezer's first Rebbe, Rebbe Zev Nochum. We know from Avnei Nezer and others that the father of Zev Velvula was Melumad Benisim. He was a Jew by whom many people saw Maifsim, saw miracles by him. And the Avnei Nezer wrote in the introduction to his father's Sefer certain things that he saw. We're not going to talk about that right now. Let me just mention to you the little bit that we have that remains from the Hesped, from the eulogy that the Avnei Nezer said about his father. The eulogy that the Avnei Nezer said regarding his father. He brought the words of the Tanya Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya was one of the close students of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Chiya is one of the Chevraya Kadisha, one of the holy disciples in the Zohar HaKadosh. So when Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai died, by the Estalkus Rabbi Shimon by Lag Ba'omer, so we see in the Zohar HaKadosh that the Tanya Rabbi Chiya was screaming, Afra, Afra, Kama Atta Chatzifu, Afora, Afra, which means Afra, Afer, dirt, earth. You saw what chutzpah you have. Afra, Afra, Kama Atta Chatzifu, it says in Zohar, that he began to scream, what a chutzpah, what a chutzpah. What was the chutzpah? That Rabbi Chiya was screaming to the earth when they were placing Rabbi Shimon, when they were burying Rabbi Shimon, he was screaming at the earth, how dare the filth and the mud take a body like that's so holy and so pure like Rabbi Shimon. And it was a chutzpah of the earth. It's the chutzpah of the earth to take away Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So the Avnei Nezer said over this piece of the Zohar, and he asked, why was it a chutzpah? The rabbi, just the opposite. The earth is taking the body so that the neshama, so that the soul will be free to return to Hashem. Why? Kvura, burial is not a disgraceful thing. Burial means the opportunity for the physical part to descend into the earth, to return to the elements, while the neshama is able to soar back to God. So the Avnei Nezer said, why is Rabbi Chiya screaming and shaking his fist at the earth? What a chutzpah you have. How dare you take the body of Rabbi Shimon? So the Avnei Nezer answered by saying that Rabbi Shimon was different. Why was Rabbi Shimon different? Because everybody knows that for 13 years Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was in the cave, was hiding. And you recall that the Gemara tells us in Shabbos that in order that the clothing shouldn't become ruined, that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Loza used to bury themselves up to the head all day long in the sand, in the dirt. So that this way they'd be able to remain cool. And they didn't have, they obviously couldn't learn without their clothing, davening was altogether, they weren't davening really in the normal sense, but they wouldn't be able to learn without their clothing, so they used to be buried in the dirt until their next. So the Avnei Nezer said that during those years, Rabbi Shimon perfected himself to such an extent, he was so mezukach, that it was no longer necessary for his body to be removed by the earth. In other words, the normal procedure of burial that decomposes the physical body that is gross and that is separate from holiness, that opposes holiness, the normal procedure of burial to take away the grossness of human physical life was not necessary by Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Chiya would scream out, Afra, Afra, come out, b'chatzif, what chutzpah you have. Don't you know that Rabbi Shimon was sitting in the schmutz for 13 years? And don't you know that Rabbi Shimon's body was so refined that a mamish wasn't physical anymore? It was a shtik rochnius, it was a piece of ur, it was a piece of God's light. So what chutzpah you have that you still demand to take his body? In other words, the disappointment was that they felt that Rabbi Shimon should have gone up like Eliyahu HaNavi. Rabbi Shimon should have gone on a chariot of fire. And instead the earth took hold of Rabbi Shimon's body, and Rabbi Chiya says, Ach b'chatzifu, you have chutzpah. So the Eliezer explained and he said, V'gam Abba. I mean, obviously he said this in Yiddish, but in his form it's in Hebrew. Since V'gam Abba, Rav Velvel, Rav Zev Nachum, Kolkach Mezukach, that my father, he says, my father was so refined, he was so purified, he was so holy. It's like Nizkak Oidle, his Dakik Ba'ofra, he really didn't need any more of the experience of being buried. Shahayakularak Urva at Samas. There's none of Rav Velvel, they say it was like a stick, he was mama so skinny, he hardly ate. Since my father was Kule Urvat Samas Nebuch, all he was skin and bones. Urvat Samas. Mamish, Bli Basa. He said, you know, my father didn't have any flesh. Because he spent every single night just like the day. He didn't take off time from learning. Until the day of his death, until he left this world. He didn't stop teaching, didn't stop learning. He didn't even take time to eat. So therefore, the Avinezer also shook his fist at the earth and said, "Come out, b'chatsi, for what the earth has chutzpah to take a body like my father's." So you get the picture. He wasn't a plain man. The father wasn't a plain man. And we'll talk more about the father later on. Some interesting things about the father with the Kosker. And Velvula himself was the Rav of Biala, which was known also for his Hasidic rabbis, for the Biala Tzadikim. He was the Rav of Biala. Abzev Nafl. On the mother's side, there are also Yuchasim that it's quite a large family. It's the Erlich family. And a lot of the Erlichs, you know, people have the last name Erlich very often are somehow mishpacha to the Avinezer's mother, which were wealthy businessmen, also Hasidim. So from both sides, he was from a very strong Hasidic background. There's a story that the Chiddush HaRim once said. The Chiddush HaRim, the Ger Rebbe said, how was Velvelish, his close friend, Reb Zev Nachum, how was he zoichet to bring into the world such a neshama? How was Reb Zev Nachum and his mother and his wife, how were they privileged to draw into the world such a neshama like the Avinezer? So this isn't a stama story, this. The Chiddush HaRim said this. So the Chiddush HaRim is reliable. So Chiddush HaRim said that he knows and he heard, I guess in the way that people like that hear things, that once on Purim, that everybody by Purim, it was a Purim, and everybody, he says, with Trudim, were preoccupied with the Mishta and the Simcha, with the joy and the celebration of the Purim meal, and drinking and so on. And there was nobody left, nobody was learning. Nobody was learning. It was Purim, it was the middle of Purim, it was that time where everybody was making Purim, nobody was learning. So he says there was only one Erlich Yid in the whole Europe at that time that was learning. He says that was Reb Velvelish, that was Reb Zev Nachum. So he said that at that time the whole world was existing because of the Hevel Piv, because of the breadth of Reb Velvelish, Reb Zev Nachum's Torah study. And Beschar Zeis, he says, the Chiddush HaRim, in the Bezn Shamala, in the heavenly court, it was decided that he would have a child that would illuminate the entire world with the study of Torah. That he would bring the light of Torah to the world. And he finished by saying that because the Avinezer was born in the schus of Talmud Torah, he was born in the merit of Torah study, therefore he was blessed with the Koach of Torah, he was blessed with one of the most powerful, the most extraordinary minds that anybody ever received. Because he was, the whole Yetzira, the whole formation and creation of the Avinezer came about through the study of Torah, through his father's diligence in the study of Torah. We know that after he was taken to Cheder, when he started to talk, we know that the Avinezer's mother said about him that he used to make a shahakal when he was being nursed. He was making brachas, not only that, but he would turn away. So he shouldn't look at Erva. So he would turn away when he was already barely over the time of infancy. He began to speak, and from the time that he was approximately 1.5 years old, he started to learn Chumash. And by the time he was 2, he was already learning Chumash, and they didn't know what to do with him. When he was already 2.5, 3 years old, they saw that he has to go to a Rebbe, he has to learn Mishnayos. On the other hand, the family was concerned, and they spoke to the tzaddik, and they were worried that could cause an emotional problem, perhaps. a little child to be taken to yeshiva at such an age, and he couldn't be with the regular boys in cheder. He didn't fit in with the regular boys in cheder. So the seder that we're told what used to be in those early years of his life is that since he wasn't getting much out of cheder anymore, his father used to carry him on his shoulders. It's very sweet, actually. His father used to carry him sometimes. He was a little boy. He was very sleepy. His father used to carry him on his shoulders, or carry him in his arms to Bis Medrash, and he would lay him down on a bench in the Bis Medrash, and very often he would still be sleeping. We have a few stories that the father told. He said that one time he brought him there, and the father, Reb Zev Nochum, who you must remember was a goyin, was one of the biggest geniuses in Poland, the father. So Reb Zev Nochum was asking a kasha of the Bochum. Now the Bochum we're talking about was 17-year-old, 18-year-old Bochum from the sharpest chevra. So he was asking them, so he's little Avramilo was lying on the bench, who everybody thought was asleep. He said, what are you asking them? They don't understand your kasha. He said, he called out from the bench under the blanket, and none of the Bochum knew how to answer. And he gave a terrorist, he gave an answer to the question of his, don't know how to learn. And this was all before he was 3 years old. This was before he was three. So he was already answering, we know, very advanced questions of learning before the time that he was 3 years old. Another story that we have is that it was on Yom Kippur one year, also when he was a tiny little boy, and everybody was in shul the whole day, and Avramila, the Avinezer, he wanted to also to fast, but he was himself 3 years old. So he wanted to fast, and his father told him that it's against the Torah, he's not allowed to. He fasted, he allowed him to fast. Can you imagine, he was 3 years old, he allowed him to fast a half a day. He fasted until the afternoon, and he was already having a headache, and his father was very upset with him and told him he commanded him the mitzvahs kibbutz to honor his father, and that he has to go and to eat. So and the Rebbetzin was already standing outside the whole time that he should come to eat. The kitzer, so the Avramila went and he came back a little while, he had eaten, he came back a little while later to shul. And his father asked him if he ate, and he said he ate. Again, this is when he was 3 years old. He said that he ate. And his father asked him, Did you make Kiddush? It's a yontiv. And every yontiv you have to make Kiddush. Did you make Kiddush? So the father said this over. The Avnezer said that in his opinion, there's no need for Kiddush. Because Kiddush, the reason that a child under Bar Mitzvah has to hear Kiddush, is only because the mitzvah of chinuch, to prepare him, to be machanach him, to educate him, and to prepare him to observe the mitzvahs. But he says that, so that when he's older, when he's by mitzvah, he should be able to observe the mitzvah. But since, le'inyin yom kippurim, as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, even when he'll be by mitzvah, he won't eat on Yom Kippur. Therefore, there's no inyin of chinuch by kiddush on Yom Kippur. Otherwise, he said he considered it, but he came to the conclusion that it wasn't necessary. And that's when he was 3 years old. Right? That's when he was 3 years old. So, very precocious. Another story. He was also very chutzpahdik. It's known about him when he was a child, and we'll see some interesting stories about the chutzpah of the Avnezer when he was a child. It came with, came with the charifas, with the sharpness. It's well known that the Holy Rebbe, Rebitzel of Worka, who, that's the beginning of the chutzah of the court of Amshon of Rebitzel of Worka, was the closest, most beloved friend of the Kotzke. And I've often spoken about their friendship. I mean, they were mamish, in terms of their hanhagis and their midas, they were so different from each other. I think their Rebitzel of Worka used to say that, they asked Rebitzel of Worka, how does he even get along with the Kotzke? I mean, the Kotzke is like, was an Eish Lahava, was a fire, and no one could go near him. And Revelvela was Kulay Taiv, Revelvela was Ach Taiv Achas, was completely compassionate and understanding and kind. So when they asked Rebitzel of Worka, how is it that you and the Kotzke, how do you get along? How are you such chaveirim? So he said that, Rebitzel of Worka said that the Kotzke and I are both going to the same place. He says there's an express and there's a local. He says the Kotzke is the express. And he's, in other words, he doesn't pick up anybody along the way. You have to get on in the beginning and you have to stay till the end. He says, but my way, I end up in the same place. But I pick up people along the way, and if they have to get off a little bit and come back on, that's what Mitzvah of Worka said. So we know that many of the tzaddikim of the generation came to see the Avnezer to talk to him when he was a little child, because he was the wonder child of all of Europe. So we have a report of the visit of Rabbi Yitzchak Lavurka that he came. Rabbi Yitzchak Lavurka came. He was also Rabbi Yitzchak Lavurka was very close friends with Rabbi Zev Nachum. They were from the Bis Medrash of the Koska. They were very close friends. So Rabbi Yitzchak Lavurka came there to the house. And he met the Avni Nezer. He was also, at that time, he was maybe 5 or 6. And he asked the Avni Nezer, what Masechta are you learning? What Gemara are you learning? And they spoke over in learning. Rabbi Slavork was a big, big London. They spoke in learning. Also, in the Rabbi Slavork was absolutely astounded by his knowledge of Torah. And the Rebbe was about to leave. And the Rabbi Slavork was about to leave. And the Avni Nezer said, Rebbe, and he writes, Shtevarcheini, I want a bracha. But he says, I want a bracha protis and not a bracha klolis. In other words, I don't want a bracha like, you know, you should be an elachid, or you should be a talmud chacham. I want befrat, a detailed, specific bracha for me. That's what he said to Avitzel of Worker. So Avitzel said, if you're so smart, he was a little taken aback, Avitzel. He said, because Avitzel was very, very edel, you know, he's very, very fine. So Avitzel said, if you're so smart, then tell me, how do you speak to an older person, especially to a rabbi? How do you speak to me with atta? You know, in Yiddish to say, you. Not to speak here, not to say in a respectful way. How do you talk to me atta? Like with a chutzpah, you. In other words, I want you to give me a bracha. And I want you to give me this kind of bracha. So if it's last time, you're so smart and no one taught you that you have to talk with derech eretz to an older person, what do you say? Like, what do you talk atta? And I'm an old man, so, Rabbi Vremela, the Avni Nezer answered, he says, do you have a bigger yichus than the Baruch Shalom? To Hashem, we say Baruch Atta. He says, yeah, you're more yichus than the Baruch Shalom? So by the Baruch Shalom, we say Baruch Atta. Blessed are you, Hashem. You don't have a bigger yichus than the Baruch Shalom. So Rabbi Yitzchak heard that, and he turned to his father, he turned to Rabbi Nachum, and he said, you should know he's going to be Mamash, a Gadol B'Yisrael. He's going to be a Gadol B'Yisrael. At that point, Rabbi Yitzchak told him that you have to watch him carefully. He told him to learn Aruch Chaim, to learn Shulchan Aruch Chaim. It's an interesting thing to learn with him. But he said he's going to be a great Talmud Chacham. And then Rabbi Vremela said, but I had said to you that I didn't want that kind of a bracha, a general bracha about Talmud Chacham. I want something specific. And we don't know exactly what he told him, but that wasn't revealed. But apparently they went into the room and Rabbi Yitzchak gave him something specific. And I'm sure that it worked out. On that occasion, we also have brought down a question that Rabbi Yitzchak asked. Rabbi Yitzchak asked the Avni Nezer, one of the things that he asked him, aside from the learning that they were learning in the Masechta, he asked him, what, I spoke about this before in the shul, what tzedakah did the Jews do in the Midbar? What tzedakah was there possible? What chesed could they do in the desert? Now, you know that the world exists only because of chesed, as it says, in Telem Oilem Chesed Yibon, the world is built and exists only because of kindness, acts of kindness, for one Jew giving to another Jew. So Rabbi Yitzchak asked, so in the desert, they didn't have to worry about food, they didn't have to worry about clothing, they didn't have to worry about anything, everything was taken care of, the Bereshim took care of them, we have a problem. I mean, the problem is that if the world exists on acts of kindness, so what kindness could one do for another do in the desert? So we have the famous answer of the Avni Nezer. The Avni Nezer said, he said to him that, you know, that the mun would taste like anything you wanted, right? You imagined the mun, that's what it tasted like, the food. So he said that what would happen in the desert, that there'd be a certain member of the tribe of Levi. Now, you know that the Levim were not enslaved. So the Levim had a better lifestyle in Egypt. So when they were in the desert, one of the people from Levi would pass by in the Midbar when the Jews were in the desert and would see some Jew eating the mun. He would be eating mun. And the person, the Levi, would ask this Jew, so tell me, Rabbi Yid, what do you think of when you eat the mun? What do you have in mind when you eat the mun? So then they said, he would say he has in mind a piece of herring and a kichel. A little piece of herring and a kichel. That's what he had in mind. So the Levi said to him, Shaita, you idiot. When you were in Mitzrayim in Egypt and you were able to get all you were able to have was a piece of herring and a kichel, that's all that you were able to eat, a piece of dog, a piece of fish, and your whole hasaga, your whole idea of what a person can subsist on is a piece of herring and a kichel. No, mele, that's what you thought of. But now you're already a yid. You already got the Torah. You're such a person. You have such small thoughts. You should already think of big things, like a good piece of flesh, a piece of meat, something good. What do you have such small hasagas? So Avnezer said, that's the chesed that one Jew did for another in the desert. And the meaning of it is, and this was his trademark throughout his life, that the greatest act of kindness that you could do for a person, the most wonderful thing you could do, is to try to help that person have bigger hasagas, have bigger thoughts, to want more in Avodas Hashem. The greatest kindness you could do is not to give a person a piece of meat. The biggest chesed you could do, and that was Avnezer's whole life, was that he saw himself primarily as a teacher of Torah, and a teacher of Yirat Shamayim, and how, as I mentioned at the beginning we started today, how much he disliked having to get drawn into the classic role of the tzaddik dispensing brachas and, you know, yeshuas and so on. He felt that the chesed that he was created for was to share his knowledge of Torah and to give Jews a bigger hasag of what it meant to be a Jew. And he didn't want, but we'll see that he had to, and he was a very compassionate person, b'teva. And as much as he complained, he did see the masses of people. He did try to help them. It probably cost him many years of his life. He didn't have Yeshiva Das, he didn't have Menuchi, he had no peace from it. But he saw that the greatest chesed in the world was to give Torah. The Avnezer from the time that he was born was always sickly. Throughout his entire life, he was very weak and very sickly. The Kotzker explained the reason for his illness. The Kotzker would later on say that usually the way it works in a human being is that there's a certain distribution of energy and power throughout all the organs and the limbs of the body. He says, and therefore, when there's balance, then there's health. But by the Avnezer, by Rabbi Romulus from Sokhachov, he says, the brain, the moyach of the Avnezer took him out all the koichas away from his body. That his mind was sucking continuously away from the energy that his arms and legs and the rest of him needed. And the Kotzka said, there's nothing to do medically, he can't be helped. And it's true that throughout his entire life, he was always very weak and very sickly. Now we're going to begin to talk now about the shidduch of the Avnezer. This is one of the most interesting stories because we have some behind the scenes reporting from the Chiddush Ha'arim. Generally when you have stam, people tell stories about tzaddikim and the shidduchim, it's by chassidim, and you know what the chassidim, there's very little that you could rely upon as being accurate from what they say. Not about business, about other things, but the stories that they tell, that they saw by the Rebbe, Chav Gazein this, and Chav Gazein that, you know, that's not something which you can actually, you have to take it with a grain of salt, like with a ton of salt. You know, the stories that they would, but when you have a man like the Chiddush Ha'arim, and the reason it wasn't because they weren't honest, it's because they loved the Rebbe, they loved the Tzaddik, so I'm always, they would say things that weren't exactly what they saw. But the Chiddush Ha'arim was the Omad HaEmes, was a pillar of truth. So we have here, what we have is the details of the story of the Shidduch of the Avnezer, who was the most sought after bachelor in all of Europe. The details of the Shidduch we have from two people. From the Chiddush Ha'arim, who told it over, and from the father of Belvelish, Reb Zev Nochum, the Avnezer's father. We're not going to finish it now, but let's begin to talk about the Shidduch. It's a very, very interesting story. And again, it's exactly as it was told by the Chiddush Ha'arim, by the Ger Rebbe, who was there. You'll see in a moment how much he was there. The Chiddush Ha'arim, whose name, by the way, is Rabbi Yitzchak Meir, Rabbi Shemaya from Ger, we'll talk about him in Shem Sefer, the Chiddush Ha'arim. Chiddush Ha'arim was the Gaon HaGaon who was there. Was considered to be among the Gedolei Hador in a generation where there were many Gedolim. So the Chiddush Ha'arim wanted to take Rav Avramala, the Avnezer, to as a chassan for his granddaughter. The son of the Chiddush Ha'arim was Rav Avraham Mordechai. He had a son of Rav Avraham Mordechai who unfortunately died also at an early age. Rav Avraham Mordechai is the father of the Sfas Emes, who you all heard of. So this Rabbi Avraham Mordechai had a daughter, which meaning that it was the granddaughter of the Chiddush Ha'arim. And the Chiddush Arim for a long time, since the Adin Ezer was a little boy, he had made, in his mind, he had already planned this out, this Shidduch, that the Rabbi Vremelo from Sokhachov was to marry his granddaughter, the daughter of his son, Rabbi Avraham Arkha. So, when it was time, for Ish Makadish, when it came time, which was very early in those days, when it came time, the Chiddush Arim approached his close friend, Rav Velvelish, the father of the Adin Ezer. He approached him and they spoke tachlis. They spoke about the Shidduch. And we know that Rav Zev Nochum, Rav Velvelish, the father of the Adin Ezer, was delighted that the Adin Ezer, even though you have to understand that the richest families of Europe were seeking the Adin Ezer, but by Reb Zev Nochum to marry the granddaughter of the Chiddush Arim, of his dearest friend of one of the Gedolei Hador, and the daughter of Rabbi Avraham Arkha himself was a great, astounding tzaddik. For him, that was the greatest honor. And he felt it would be a wonderful shidduch. And the two of them, the Chiddush Arim and Reb Zev Nochum and Reb Velvelish, decided that they would go to seek the bracha of their Rebbe, the Kotzker. They wouldn't do anything. They had the tanoim all signed up. The papers were all signed up. But they didn't make a lechaim because they didn't want to make a lechaim until they first got the blessings of the Rebbe, of Rav Mendel from Kotsk. So sure enough, they arrived at Kotsk. Now the Rav Mendel of Kotsk's closest, you can't call him a friend. His closest, my associate is, The one who was allowed in was Reb Hirsch Tamashover. Reb Hirsch Tamashover was his shamus, but you have to say Reb Hirsch Tamashover himself was a Jew that was a goyin and a tzaddik. But Reb Hirsch Tamashover was a friend of the Kotzkanu from, they were both from Tamashover, that was the hometown. So Reb Hirsch Tamashover was one of the few people that the Kotzke relied upon. So when the Chiddush Arim arrived with Reb Velvelish and the Avni Nezer, they all came there to Kotzk to ask for the bracha. For the Shidduch, so Reb Hirsch Tamashover came running and he said, "Where have you been? The Rebbe has been waiting for you." Even though they never told the Rebbe they were coming, but the Kotzker, he said the Rebbe sent the whole day. He's waiting. And they said that they were delayed. Whatever, they stopped somewhere, and they saw this as a wonderful siman. They were very happy that the Kotzker was waiting for them. They saw this as a siman bracha that he was happy the Rebbe wanted the Shidduch to go. So what happened is that it was decided that the Chiddush Arim would go in. Of course, the Chiddush Arim was older, and he was the one that was asking on behalf of his daughter, with the Avni Nezer, to make the Shidduch. So the Chiddush Arim went in, and before he said a word, before he could speak, and the Kotzker didn't ask him, "Why are you here?" The Chiddush Arim lived in Warsaw, and he came to the Kotzker, and the Kotzker didn't ask him why he'd come. The Kotzker began by saying, "You know that there's a Shidduch that has been suggested to me." And he said, the Kotzker had two daughters in his old age. And he had a daughter, her name was Saritsina. So he says that Saritsina has been suggested to marry the son of Rav Velvelish, the Avni Nezer. So who could imagine, the Chiddushim, since the Avni Nezer is born, since the granddaughter was born, he's making a Shidduch, but he had this all worked out. And they came to get a bracha to marry off the Avni Nezer with his granddaughter. And then the Rebbe himself says, I had this idea that my daughter should marry Rabbi Vemula, the son of Rabbi Velvelish. What do you think, he said, about this Ilui? What do you think about the match? He asked the Chiddush Arim, do you think it's a good Shidduch? The Chiddush Arim didn't say anything. He didn't know what to say. He was very taken aback, and he didn't tell him why he came to Kotsk. He didn't tell him a thing, and he didn't ask for anything, and he said that he's tired, and he asked the Rebbe to excuse him, and he'll come back, and later on he'll be happy to talk. He's just very tired from the derech. He came outside, and they're all excited, because they thought the Kotzker would say to come and bring everybody in, to drink a lechaim, to make tanoim. So the Chiddushim comes out, and he tells the whole wedding party that, you're not gonna believe it, but the Rebbe himself wants your son. He told Rav Velvelish, the Rebbe wants your son. For his daughter, for Saritsina. So they didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to make of the whole situation. So a couple of hours went by. They were like stalling and they were talking amongst themselves what to do. A couple of hours went by. And, so the Chiddush Arim said the following. This was his idea.
the Chiddush HaRim told his son, Rav Avraham Mordechai, to go into the Rebbe and not to make like he doesn't know that, to make like you don't know anything about this whole business with what the Koska said to me. The Chiddush HaRim said, the father said, he said to Rav Avraham Mordechai, go in and go to, just to get a bracha from the Rebbe and to ask him right away about the Shidduch with your daughter. Make like you don't know anything. Don't let the Rebbe start saying, come right in, and when the second you walk in said that it was suggested to me, Shidduch, that's it. Right away start asking for the Shidduch. So that's what happened. So Rav Mordechai went in, and this is, listen to the answer of the call. He came in right away, and as he came to the door, he right away started screaming out the whole thing that it was suggested to me a shidduch for my daughter to marry Rav Avraham Mordechai's son. He right away said the whole thing. So this is what the Koska said. Again, this is Lashon HaKodesh, in the Sefer it says, Da'alucha. He said, you should know. Higam lufana hitziyus ha-shidduch hazeh. You should know that this shidduch was suggested to me as well. This is also a shidduch by my daughter. And he writes, "Eloi melacha b'li shum pniyeh chasushol." Now I want to tell you without anything selfish. Now you see, when we say that, it means stay tuned. But when the Koska says, you have to understand the Koska's whole life was there wasn't a word that wasn't true. See, so I'm telling you without any pniyeh, which means without any negiyah, which is not even possible for us to say. Listen, he says, "Shekamosha hagmara imeres b'din ger shabol his gayer." You know that if a person comes to convert, the Gemara tells us that you have to tell them, you know, what it means to be a Jew and how much suffering and misery and sorrows and, you know, the mitzvahs, and you could be, and if you're going to be a Jew, you're going to be, if you don't keep the mitzvahs, you do a very, you're going to suffer in the chulu v'chulu. You don't have to say all these things to scare away. Kidei sheyeda hager ma'u mekabel atzmai, kein hu gam v'odem ha'reitze l'hachnitz the basic kli ke'ilui hazeh. So too, anybody who desires to take into his house this genius, meaning Rabbi Raimala, who was a boy at the time, whoever wishes to take him as a son-in-law, to take him to the house, has to also be warned. In other words, he has to be given a warning. He says, "Avraimelo, suichim lo hidia lo adam ze mahu mekabel al atzma lashgiach alav kedei sheyavad al atzma bechol anagel leshorasho." The only one who could take Avraimelo into the house is somebody who understands the root of his soul and could show him and to direct him to the root of his soul. And then it says, the Rebbe, that the Kotzke went through a whole long list of problems with Avraimelo. Problems doesn't mean that, you know, he doesn't do his homework or something. Whatever, you know, how to bring him to that shorish, how to bring him to the root of his soul. The Koska finally said, at the end he said, Be'emes, gam ani adayin rochak mi shidduch zeh. So I'll tell you the truth, I'm not happy with the shidduch yet. I'm not sure about the shidduch, the Koska said, with my daughter to marry him off. Ach yitochein v'harotzen yishtaneh. But it could be that I'll have more of a cheshik for it. I'm afraid. He says, in other words, I'm afraid. The other Nez is a very big neshama, and he needs tremendous, Anthony, he would have been a big Talmud Chacham and a Tzaddik, but the Koska, as we'll see later on, the Koska had in mind, we actually know what the Koska said, and we'll come to it next week, that the Koska once said about the other Nez that he has in mind that he should become like the Maharal Miprag. To be like the Maharal Miprag. And that's no small order. That he's going to be to bring into the world the Maharal Miprag. Therefore, it needed special care. He needed special care. So he said, I don't know if I'm up for this either. The Koska, I don't know, but I'm telling you, if you take him in, this is what it would mean. At any rate, the conclusion of this, we'll just stop with tonight. What happened was that Rav Avraham Mordechai came out to the crowd that was waiting. What's going to be here? So he told his father, Chiddush HaRim, and he told Rav Avraham everything that happened. Then the Chiddush HaRim, at this point, the Ger Rebbe, the old Rebbe, the grandfather, Ger Rebbe Chiddush HaRim, turned to his friend Rav Avraham and said to him, "Well, Velvelish Ahuvi, my beloved, Akshav Gam in Bincha Ha'ilu Yigdal in Midosu Shal Moshe Rabbeinu Avdol Shalom. Now, even if I would know for a fact that your son would be like Moshe Rabbeinu, Im Titen Li Vigam Im Titen Li Kol Hain Ba'alma, if you gave me all the money in the world, and in the right side, the Shidduch, I don't want him anymore. I'm afraid I don't want to take your son anymore. We don't know how to deal with the neshamas on that level, so I refuse to take him anymore." The Chiddush HaRim relinquished, he gave up the shidduch, and at that point the shidduch wasn't yet made, so we'll continue next week in Yitzhak Hashem, where Velvelish Reb Zev Nochum goes into the Kotzker, expecting at that point to work the Shidduch out, when we'll see that for many, many months, they were pushed away, and the Shidduch didn't go, and then until finally, the Shidduch would take place. We'll also talk next week about the Shidduch that almost took place with the sons of Rav, with the Divrei Chaim. And it is known that the Divrei Chaim was an old man, so the Divrei Chaim used to crash that he could have had the Adni Nezer. He didn't take the Adni Nezer, we'll see, because he felt that he was too sharp. He felt that he was too sharp. Also, he didn't want to be metapel with such a neshama. He felt that the neshama was too explosive, was too difficult, and he didn't feel that the Divrei Chaim, the sons of Rav, didn't want to take upon himself the neshama of the Adni Nezer. Okay. Fire. Thank you.